CMO, happy that you're here. I think what I've decided to do, because I looked at the radar just a little bit ago, looks like some bad weather, tornado watch right now. It's going to start hitting between 6:15 and 6:30, the last I checked on my weather app. So I think I'm going to kind of condense this down just a little bit. So those who got a little longer to drive, want to get back home before that worst weather hits, we'll do that. This is a Lads to Leaders PowerPoint, and as long as we use all the slides, this is Levi's PowerPoint, he'll get credit for that. And then we've got one more, but next week, don't forget, is Church Eat Church, right? So the fifth Sunday potluck, and so we'll have a shorter lesson over there in the annex. But it'll be that last week, we'll do Ellie's PowerPoint, and then we're going to be done with the Lads to Leaders PowerPoint. So this one is part two. I had Olivia do the first four of the seven churches of Asia, and then Levi's got the last three. So if you want, you can open your Bible to Revelation. And we'll get started here. Again, they did a great job. Make sure you encourage them. Tell them what a great job they did, especially Levi the other day leading a song after Wednesday Bible devotional, right? Great to see him do that. So we want to encourage them. He did a great job on this. And so we'll go ahead and get started here. And I'm going to try not to be long-winded and get carried away and make this longer than in my mind I need to make it. And so let's just be reminded here, chapter 1, right, before we get to the seven churches of Asia, the whole chapter, all of chapter 1 is really a reminder of who's talking, right? And again, he's talking to real people, real churches, right, real brethren, with real, and I love how Levi threw the map here, real brethren with real victories and real worries and real problems, real issues, real temptations, right? And so in chapter 1, before he talks to the seven churches of Asia, right? So 5 out of 7, he's saying, you better fix this. But before he does that in chapter 1, if you remember, and you've been in our Wednesday Bible study of Revelation, it's all about Jesus has all authority. Right? And it tells us of his greatness, of his might, that he's the Alpha and the Omega. In verse 8, chapter 1, for example, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, right? That's who's talking. And we go through all these wonderful descriptors of Jesus. Again and again, the whole chapter is about, I want you to remember how wonderful and powerful Jesus is. And as he ends chapter 1, and you get to verses 18 and 19 and 20, you are reminded that he has all authority. And so you better listen to what he's about to tell you. Seven churches of Asia. And of course, we take application of that for ourselves today as we read the text. And so he's going to go through a series of issues and problems and failures in the church that they need to address, right? God is a God of second chances, right? And so you see again and again these five churches that are failing in some things, and I want you to repent, right? And then in all seven of the churches, God wants to give us something. God is such a giver. He's always wanting to give. And he says, you know, you're doing this good, but you're doing this bad. But if you'll overcome, I'll give you something. Right? God is such a giver. And it's the one who has all power and authority that's saying these things. And so that's what we see in chapter 1, and it helps us to better understand what's going on with the seven churches. Right? We looked at Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira. Now let's look at number 4 here, chapter 3, Sardis. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God. Now, seven spirits is something you're going to see in chapter 4, verse 5, chapter 5 and verse 7. He talked about it in chapter 1, verse 5. Yeah, verse 4, right? And it's just a reminder of Jesus, right? And it's more than likely a reference to the messianic promise of Jesus back in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. But In short, this is a reminder of who Jesus is. So seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Now you got to go back to chapter 2, right? And that's the seven messengers to the seven congregations. So it says, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you're dead. So here's the first problem. Right? On the outside it looks good, but God, who knows everything, Jesus, who's in the midst of his congregations, he goes, I know that there's an issue. Right? And here's what he tells them. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Right? So the city of Sardis, it's a stronghold, and it's up really high, and it's protected on three sides, but two times throughout human history, the city was overtaken. They weren't watching the back, right, the back door. And so that's probably a play on words. Watch out, right? The enemy wants to destroy you. Pay attention, right? You got a reputation, but you're dead inside, so you better watch out, right? Satan's there wanting to destroy you. What a great lesson for us. So verse 3, remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Right? So you have to straighten these things up. God is loving. He's patient. He's kind. Right? Let's fix these things. Yeah, you look good on the outside. You got a great reputation, but you're dead on the inside. What a great, powerful lesson for us today. You have a few names, verse 4, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments. Right? That's the theme here that we see throughout Revelation. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Right? And so the idea here we see in Revelation is the idea of washing our robes in the blood of the Lamb. We see that back in chapter 1 of verse 4, again in chapter 7, especially in verse 14. And so in verse 5, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Right? Jesus talked about it that in Matthew 10 and verse 32. Right? If you confess me, I'll confess you before my Father. If you deny me, I will deny you before my Heavenly Father. So he's telling them, you know, you got to get right, you got to repent. And if you do that, right, you get those robes cleaned again, spiritually speaking. That's how you're an overcomer, and I won't take your name out of the book of life. And that ought to cause us, fear on one side. If I don't overcome, right, if I remain spiritually dead, my name's going to be taken out of the book of life. But joy on the other side if I do overcome. Right, and I'm reborn spiritually. I can have my name remain in the Lamb's book of life, and he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the seven churches. And he ends each of the churches there with that statement. Are you listening? Right, he usually begins by saying, let me remind you of who I am. And at the end, he says, are you listening? Are you listening? And so that's to the church at Sardis. Next, the church at Philadelphia. In verse 7, third chapter of Revelation, and to the angel of the church at Philadelphia write, so here's a reminder of who's talking here. And now, we don't get any condemnation for the church at Philadelphia. They're doing pretty good, kind of like Smyrna. These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David. Now, this is going to be, you can go back to Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 22, Luke chapter 1. He talks about that. And, of course, it's the idea of authority. Right? If I got a key to my house, I have authority who enters my house. Right? But it also is a way to open a door to go in. Right? So Jesus said, I have all authority. Now the issue is, of course, when we read a little bit further, you've got Jews who are basically saying, no, we got the authority. Right, and calls them the synagogue of Satan. No, they don't. No, they don't. He said, I determine who enters into my kingdom. And so we have that wonderful phrase right here, and it's the key of David that Isaiah prophesied about in the old covenant times, about the new covenant. So in verse 8, well, let me finish that. Key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Right. So the other side of that is, if he shuts it, and you're not on the inside, you're not coming in. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength. See, here it is. Here's why they're a faithful church. They have kept his word, and they did not deny his name. Again, what Jesus says in Matthew 10 and verse 32. Right? They kept his word. They did not deny his name. In other words, they confessed Jesus in their daily life in the midst of persecution. So you keep reading here in verse 9, indeed I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. And that's an interesting word in the original language, pseudante. We get a word, or pseudo, right? We know what pseudo is in the English. It looks real, but it's not. It's a fake, right? So they're dealing with a lot of people that were coming up with things that it looked godly, it looked like it was the right thing in the eyes of God, but he's saying it wasn't. So there's a little more meaning to that, and the King James doesn't fully, I think, translate that out. But he says, indeed, I will make them come and worship. There's a word proskuneo, but it's also used in the sense of laying prostrate before someone and kissing the ground towards them. So worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly, hold fast. Right, that's the third time we've seen that idea of holding fast. He said it to Sardis, the faithful brethren there, and also to the faithful brethren at Thyatira. Right? Don't give up. So hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Now Paul, he talks about that in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 4, verse 8, verse 18. Don't let anyone cheat you or deceive you or kidnap you out of your reward. And so the Lord's saying the same thing here to the brethren. Right? Those pseudo-teachers, right? They're really of the synagogue of Satan. Don't let them steal your crown with their deception. And he overcomes, I will make a pillar. Now that's the Greek word, stulos. And I believe that's probably the idea of strength or permanent. Make you a pillar in the temple of God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem. Jerusalem means city of peace, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. And so again, we see here that God is a giver. He's always wanting to give. Right? Just be an overcomer. Don't give up. Be victorious in the spiritual battle. It'll be well worth it. At Romans 8 and verse 18, one moment in heaven is going to be worth it all. So he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, right? Are you listening? Don't give up. You're doing great, Philadelphia, brethren there. You're going through persecution. He said, just don't give up. You got a great reward coming. And then third and finally, we have the church at Laodicea. Beginning in verse 14, and to the angel of the church at Laodicea, right? Now here's a wonderful description of Jesus, right? And again, just like with the other churches, let me remind you who's talking, right? We would do very well to understand who's telling us these things. These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, right? That's who's talking. That's description of Jesus. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. And you know, what we learned in our Wednesday Bible class about the church at Laodicea is they were famous for their disgusting warm water. And it was kind of strange because they were very near Hierapolis, which is famous for their cold refreshing water, and Colossae, which was famous for their hot springs. And here in the middle is Laodicea, known for their warm kind of gross water. But it was also a very wealthy city that was known for their banking system. They had a well-known medical school there. They were famous for treatments for eye conditions. They had a great textile industry there, so very well, very prosperous. And I think here's the issue with the church at Laodicea that we need to, as modern-day American Christians, they were very comfortable, it seems. Right, in a wealthy, peaceful, right, no persecution that you can read of, from the Jews, from the pagan worshipers, from Rome, right, no real persecution, and they were getting kind of comfortable and lazy. And that's probably why they got lukewarm, and that's why there's this very serious, great condemnation. And it's disgusting to God. Keep reading here. So then, because you are lukewarm, verse 16, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Being lukewarm in your faith is disgusting to God. That's why we get the very vivid imagery here. And so here's the issue in more detail. Because, verse 17, you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, have need of nothing. Right? So they're comfortable. And that's the issue with having wealth. Is, you know, we kind of, well, we're tempted to think, I don't really need God, right? I can take care of everything myself. And so there's a great danger in comfort. And so he's going to talk to them spiritually here. And do you not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? And he's talking spiritually. Right, they're focusing, hey, we're wealthy, everything's going great. But he's saying, no, you're wretched spiritually. You're miserable spiritually. You're poor, blind, and naked spiritually. Now, again, a theme throughout Revelation is being clothed in white garments. Right, and they become white because they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so I think, you know, you can infer, at least I do when I read this, that being lukewarm puts you in a very dangerous situation when you're naked spiritually. You're no longer covered with that clean robe that was washed in the blood of the Lamb. I counsel you, verse 18, to buy for me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. Right? And he's talking spiritually here. Right? Don't let the physical riches and the pleasures of this life be what you focus on, because if so, you're going to be lukewarm. Right? But God said, I'm offering you something of more eternal value, right? That you may be rich, and here it is again, white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. And again, they were known for that medical school with the salve. People from all over would come there, right? But he's talking spiritually. And so what a great warning and encouragement to those who overcome. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. And the writer of Hebrews really talks about that in Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. Right? The Lord chastens or disciplines those whom he loves. Right? So God loves his brethren at Philadelphia, and that's why he's scolding them, disciplining them, chastening them. Right, with this admonition here. You got to fix these things that are wrong. To him who overcomes, again, here God is always such a giver, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. God is a giver. He wants to give. And that's one of the very wonderful things with all the churches, whether they're doing, really bad or really good, or they're lukewarm in the middle. He said, I want to give you. I want to give you what you need to be an overcomer. And that's what Revelation is all about. So he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And I apologize to Levi. I was behind a slide there. Jesus rebukes those whom he loves. Verse 19, Jesus calls them to repent. and he encourages them to overcome to receive their reward. Now, here's our conclusion. And I do appreciate the help he gave me out here at the end on this. Right? If we want to be a church that is pleasing to our Lord, then we must be a church that is committed to our task, right? Being faithful. We finish what we start, right? That's what being an overcomer is all about, right? The Greek word Nike, to conquer, to be victorious. We must step through the doors that God opens for us, and we need to be fully committed to Christ and the true riches he affords. And let's finish with this thought here and add the Lord's invitation. God is a giver. He loves you, right? And who doesn't love to receive gifts? Right? And if you're a parent, don't you love to give gifts to your children? You just love to, you love that they appreciate that gift, and it's the same with God. Right? And he loves us so much more than we could ever love our children or grandchildren. Right? Which is, it's very difficult to comprehend. And he's saying, I want to give, and he's proven that, of course. Most importantly, with the gift of his son, right? Dying on the cross, he's a giver. And he's long-suffering, and he loves us, and wants us to be victorious. So if you're here this evening, and you've never obeyed the gospel, again, God is a giver, and he wants to give you eternal life. But he's not going to force it upon you. Right? There's a part that you have. God has done his part. Now you got to do your part. And that is obey the gospel. Obey the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb with a response of faith, right? Put on Christ in baptism. And so if you haven't done that, that's a plea for you this evening. If you have, and maybe you realize you're lukewarm or you've fallen away and you want to start over, our loving God, God of second chances, encourages you to be reconciled. So if we can help you in either one of those, please let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.